So scripture sometimes says that we should become free from all material desires. On the other hand, it also says that nobody can be free from the influence of the modes. And also we hear that there are some great saints who are completely, who have lived as Naishthik Brahmacharis. So is it really possible to be free from all desires in this world? And how do we understand the various contradictory singing statements? See, the first thing is, there is perception, there is desire, there is intention, and there is action. So, the perception, nobody can avoid in this world. From that desire might come in something. Desire may also come. But the desire doesn't grow into an intention. And certainly, it doesn't necessarily have to go into an action. So to further clarify this, when the Bhagavatam says that, when the Bhagavad Gita says, Vihaya kaman yaha sarvan pumams charpini spuha. Or it talks about prajahati yada kaman sarvan parthamanavar. It is focusing on the action that we take, that we reject all desires. Vihaya, give up all desires. That means desires are present, but we don't accept them. We reject them. Desires come in. So, in 2.70, Krishna uses the word kama kami, na kama kami, apuryamana vachala pratishtam, samudra mapa pravishanti yadva, tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve. So, shanti mapnoti na kama kami. This is a very interesting compound word, kama kami. Kama kami means desirer of desire. So, Krishna says that one should not be a desirer of desire. And there, normally we think of desires as flowing outwards. We see a sense object and we get attracted to the desire. But here, when Krishna uses the example, he talks about rivers flowing into the ocean. And the ocean is compared to the consciousness of the yogi, of the seeker. So, he's talking about desires flowing into the consciousness just as rivers flow into the ocean. And he says that this, the inflow of rivers into the ocean, when the ocean is big, it doesn't agitate the ocean. The ocean doesn't overflow its coast. It doesn't flood the coast like how that is. It's because of its bigness. So similarly, when Krishna is using the word nakamakami, what he means is that from the outer world, perception may happen, and that perception may come in the form of temptation. Sometimes we see people who may just be dressed improperly, but they are not consciously trying to tempt us. But sometimes some people dress improperly and they move in such a way that they actually want to tempt. They want to attract and captivate and tempt people, whichever way it is. But the point is, from outside, perception may come in, and that perception may kindle some desire. That means from outside, it comes in a tempting way. But then intention means we start wanting to activate. So perception can't be avoided. Perception may kindle desire also. But we don't act on that desire. The famous verse of Yamunacharya where he says, Yadavdi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde. He says, when I think about Krishna, after that when I think of sex desire, he says, my lips curl in distaste and spit at the thought. Now Prabhupada will focus on how one is having no attraction to that. Also the fact is, still even a saint like him is getting the desire. He's getting the desire, but his response to the desire is rejection. It is not intention to do that. That's why in our spiritual life, we shouldn't focus too much on changing our desires. We shouldn't make change of desire as the primary barometer of our spiritual life. Our primary barometer should be a change of values. The desire may come, but what is my response to the desire? If I start, I want to enjoy now. No, I don't want this desire. Why is this desire coming? Let me crowd it out by filling my mind with Krishna. So you focus that way, then change of values is much more realistically and definitely possible for us. To think that I should never get any wrong desire, that is, we are setting the parameter so high, we are putting the bar so high that we will practically never be able to leap across it. But if you say, okay, the desire may come, but what do I do? Prabhupada explained the difference between a Goswami and a Godas is that both of them may get the desire, but the Goswami says no. The Godas says yes. And the Sadhaka says later.
Maybe when I can do this private. Basically, as sadhakas, we don't say no firmly.
But if we change our intention, that is good enough. So when the Bhagavatam says that nobody is free from lust, or everybody is under the influence of the mood, that means everybody has the perception, has to face the perception, and that may occasionally kindle some desire. But when Bhagavad Gita says we should reject, or when the Bhagavad Gita says we should reject all worldly desire, that means we should not let, when it comes in, we should not let it become our intention. So it's like, see, impulse comes in, then there's an intelligence, and then there is the intent. So intelligence is the guard between impulse and intent. So impulse will come anyway. Impulse may come because of our own past recollections, certain things may get triggered, or because we perceive something and some impulse may come. But if our intelligence is vigilant, intelligence will act as a guard. So impulse may come in, but impulse won't transform into intent and go out. We'll just check it over there. So that way, although desires may come, we don't have to act on those desires. Okay? Thank you very much.